one of the turning points in the Haggadah is the Vehisha Amda, but people maybe don't pay attention to the introduction, the paragraph that comes before Vehisha Amda. And that paragraph reads as follows. And again, Baruch Shomer Avtachaso LeYisrael Baruch Hu. And in this paragraph, which is very critical in the Haggadah, we introduce a parasha in Lech Lecha, which is called the Bris Bein HaBesorim. And this is in Bereishis Perek Tes Vav. I would like to read the parasha to you because I think it's critical, and perhaps ask a number of questions on this parasha. The Torah says at the beginning of Perek Tes Vav, Achar Advarim Ha'ele, Hoy Dvar Hashem El Avram B'machze Lemar. And Avram Avinu is told about a divine promise. He tells Avram Avinu Hashem to go outside and look up into the sky, count the stars if you can count them. Koye Zaracha. That's the multitude of your descendants. Vehem in Bashem. And Avram believed. He had emunah. And then, immediately after Avram's emunah, it says, Vayoma elav ani Hashem, asher tzosicha meir kazdin, laseisecha sa'aretz hazos, lirishta, you will inherit the land. Vayomar, and Avram's response was, Bameh eida ki arishena. How do I know that I and my descendants will inherit the land? And Hashem's response was the famous Bris Bein HaBesorim, Kechola Egla Mishuleshes, the Eiz Mishuleshes, etc. And then it says Vesat Tzipor Lo Basar. And then finally, Vayomer Li Avram, and this is all familiar to us from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Yodoa teida ki ger yezaracha b'eretz lo lahem. Your descendants will be aliens in a foreign land. Vavadum, there they will be subjugated to slavery, ve'inu osam, and to affliction. Ve'gam es hagoy asher yavodu don anochi. God promises that He will judge that nation that will subjugate the Jewish people. The Achrechein Yetzu Berchush Gadol. And afterwards, they will go out with the great possessions. And this is the Parsha of Bris Bein HaBesorim, which plays such a major role in the mitzvah of Leil HaPesach, the mitzvah of the Haggadah.
Okay.
I would like to raise a number of questions on this parasha of Bris Bein HaBesorim. Question number one. Hashem tells Avram Avinu, Koye Zaracha, the multitudes, and Vayamin Bashem. Avram, who's the knight of faith, believes in God's promise. And then in the very next pasuk, when Hashem promises Avram Avinu that his descendants will inherit the land, Avram is Bamei Eida Ki Arishena. All of a sudden, he seems to be lacking in emuna. How do I know that this will come to pass? Why the sudden change? Question number two. What does it mean, Vegam Es Hagoy Asher Yavodu Don Anochi? God tells Avram Avinu that the nation that subjugates your descendants, I will judge. It sounds like God is giving Avram Avinu some sort of a nechama, a consolation, but yet, what consolation is that? The descendants of Avram will be subject to centuries upon centuries of slavery, of affliction, And yet, God says, don't worry, I will judge and mete out punishment to those who enslaved you. Doesn't seem like much of a comfort and a consolation. If I was the father of the children, I don't think it would make much difference to me about the revenge against those who brought affliction on my children. And question number three, V'achar kein yetzu b'rechush gadol. This is the great divine promise that the people of Israel, after centuries of slavery, would go out with great possessions. It seems so antithetical. Avram Avinu is the one who declares with regard to King of Sdom, Michut v'atzroch na'al. Avram Avinu is the least of anyone who's interested in material goods. Why is this meant to placate Avram? And finally, my last question, which I think is perhaps the most profound of all the questions. Why does Avram Avinu have to hear this? Why does Hashem have to reveal to Avram Avinu the suffering, the anguish, the slavery of his descendants? Avram is a tzaddik. Does Avram deserve to hear this news, this piece of news that's going to cause him tremendous anguish, as any father would feel for his children? What compels Hashem Kaviyachol to reveal this to Avram Avinu? It doesn't make sense that Hashem would want to bring Avram Avinu into the state of anguish, of suffering. In order to answer these questions, I would like to study with you the concept of galut, of Jewish exile, and raise a very questionable chakira, as we call it. What is the purpose of galut? What brings it about? One could say, as we say in the davening on Musaf, Mipnei chatoenu galinu me'artzenu, that galus is a result of sin, and it's a punishment for sin. It's a little bit problematic in the case of Mitzrayim to say that the exile of Mitzrayim is a punishment for sin. This is before Matan Torah. Perhaps that's not such a question, because we see that God meets out punishment even before the Torah is given, in the case of Mabul, in the case of Dar HaFlaga, in the case of stone which is destroyed. Obviously, there are certain fundamental principles and requirements that came before Matan Torah, and perhaps our forefathers were guilty of those kind of severe sins. But I'd rather raise a question about Golus in general, not about Mitzrayim per se. What is Golus? What is exile? And maybe this will bring us back to even a more fundamental question. What is punishment all about? Suffering and punishment. Let me offer two answers. One answer is that suffering is punishment, and that's it. That's an end unto itself. It's not that punishment has any greater purpose. The other interpretation is no. Punishment is a means to an end. The goal of punishment, the goal of suffering, is to bring man to go back on the straight path, if he sinned, to rectify his situation. And perhaps we can give a mashal, a simile, to two categories of punishment that are fundamentally different one from the other. Imagine a situation of a king, and his subjects, or some of his subjects, have rebelled against him. He appoints a very cruel individual as the officer who's going to oversee punishment. And in some situations, that officer is brutal. Another situation that arises is where the prince himself rebels against his father. And once again, the king has no choice but to appoint an individual who will oversee the punishment meted out to his own son. But there's one basic difference between the two. In the case of a criminal, a rebellious individual, the king is not really interested in overseeing the punishment. He doesn't care one way or the other about how much suffering the criminal will experience at the hands of this officer. And if this officer becomes extremely brutal, in the king's mind, that's okay, because this is a rebellious citizen, a real criminal. Not so in the case of the son of the king. Here the king is very interested. He's very, very much in pain and in anguish that he has no choice but to appoint someone to mete out punishment against his rebellious son. But in this case, the king, who has compassion over his son, wants to know at every stage of the game what suffering is his son experiencing. And is perhaps that officer overstepping his bounds? Perhaps, heaven forbid, he is punishing his son beyond exactly what the son deserves. And the difference is fundamental. In the first case, we have what we call punishment for the sake of punishment. You're guilty of a crime, you'll be punished. You'll suffer for it. There's no greater purpose. But in the second case, there's a greater purpose for the punishment. The compassionate father is hoping that punishment will bring about an ultimate result. I would quote to you a pasuk, a verse in Sefer Dvarim. Perikhes, the pasuk says, "Kasher yisar ish es bino, Hashem elokecha miasreka." Just as a father, in many cases, has to bring punishment to a son, so too, Almighty God will bring punishment upon His children, upon the people of Israel. And what is the meaning of this pasuk, Kasher? What is this equation? This pasuk reveals to us a great principle, and that is when Hashem brings about yisurim, anguish, punishment upon His children, upon His nation, it's like a compassionate father who finds that it's necessary under certain conditions, in certain situations, to bring punishment upon his child, but only for the greater purpose, only for the greater good. And here, I would like to call your attention to the situation back at the time of our forefathers with regard to the land of Israel. Seven nations occupied the land. And the Torah tells us that at some point in history, God says the Jewish people will take over the land of Israel. What is that moment in time? And the pasuk tells us, "Kasher tamale sasam." The nations that lived in the land, seven nations, were guilty of abominable sins. But God was compassionate. God was long-winded. And He waited until finally, Tamale Sasam, they had passed the point of no return. Their guilt was just intolerable. And so God brought about their destruction. And those seven nations were obliterated. Now let's turn to the situation of Klal Yisrael. We enter into the land, and Baruch Hashem, we inherit and settle therein. But what happens if somewhere down the line, catastrophe, tragically, we veer off the right path? And now Hashem has two choices. We're at a crossroads. One choice is to treat the Jewish people the same way he treated those nations that occupied the land. The land vomits them forth, and they are destroyed. No longer do they exist on the face of the earth. There's another way, another possibility, and that's called Golus. That's called exile, in which God spreads the people of Israel across the nations of the earth. The difference between the two is absolutely fundamental. In the first case, if Hashem meets out punishment to the people of Israel in the land, then we are, as you'd possibly say, kaput, finito. We have no hope for the future. If, on the other hand, God takes it upon Himself to spread the Jewish people throughout the globe, then it means that we still exist, although we're dispersed. But Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, we still continue to exist. And there's hope that one day we'll return to the land. So Golus, in that sense, can be viewed as a great compassion on the part of the divine being. Instead of meeting out punishment to the people of Israel in the land, which might mean that's the end, Hashem, in His Rachmanus, spreads the people across the earth. That's their punishment. And hopefully, in their Golus, in that experience of exile, they will rectify their ways to the point in which they'll be brought back to the land. Let's go back to the Bris Bein HaBesorim. First, the divine promise, Ko Yezaracha. Go out and count the stars, Avram Avinu, if you could only count them. And Vayaminu Bashem, and Avram had no problem. He had full faith in the Almighty. God was good for his promise. But then Hashem says to him that your descendants will inherit the land. And at this point, Avram Avinu asks the question, Bame Eda ki Ero Sheno. Interesting. The language of the Pasuk is not Bame Eda, Avram asking, how do I know that God will bequeath the land? Avram Avinu has no question about that. Avram Avinu is the knight of faith. He has total, absolute faith in the Ribono Shel Olam that his descendants will inherit the land of Israel. But Bame Eda ki Ero Sheno. He's not asking about God. He's asking about himself and his descendants. How do I know? What guarantee, God, are you giving me that my descendants will inherit the land forever and ever? Perhaps Avraham Avinu knows there's a psychology, a rule that the Torah codifies, Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Lo Yechta. The people of Israel are human beings with their frailties and their limitations. At some point down the line, Avraham Avinu fears that the people of Israel will lose their claim and their rights to the land. And what's going to happen at that point? And he knows that the land cannot tolerate such evil. He understands that the nature of the land and its atmosphere of holiness is v'haki ha'aretz osam. The land will vomit forth its inhabitants. And what's going to happen then? Will the people of Israel be destroyed? Chas v'sholom. How do I know, asks Avraham Avinu, that the Yerusha, the inheritance of the land, is absolutely permanent. It's eternal. And even if at some point the people of Israel sin, God will not destroy them as He did with the seven nations, but rather He would disperse them across the face of the earth as a punishment of a compassionate father for his son. And here is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to console Avraham Avinu, to guarantee him that the people will return. First, Kach Lecha Egel Mishuleshes. Take this calf and split it into pieces. Chazal say that those pieces are the pieces of Golus, of Jewish exile, as the descendants of Avram are spread throughout the corners of the earth. But then the Pasuk says, Vesatzipor lo basar. Rashi says, in the name of the Medrash, that the Tzipor, the bird, is the symbolic representation of Knesset Yisrael lo basar. It will not be split. It will not be destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to console Avram Avinu. And he's saying that although down the line, as you are afraid, as you fear, Yigro Machet, because of Jewish sin, they will lose their rights to the land of Israel. But that's only temporary. That's only a means to an end. That's only a stage in which a compassionate father must mete out punishment. But the purpose of the punishment is not as an end to itself, but rather it's for the purpose of bringing his son back to the right path. And in the case of Klal Yisrael, the purpose of Golus is from a compassionate divine being to bring the people back, to do tshuva, to rectify their sins, and once again, to settle in the land. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, I'll prove it to you. Gam es agoy adun anochi, don anochi. Why does God care about the Egyptians? And why would Avraham Avinu be impressed by the fact that God will mete out judgment and punishment against the Egyptians? And the answer is the mashal that we gave before. When a king has to give over his subjects who rebelled against him to be punished by the officers, the king couldn't care less about how much punishment is meted out. Let it be cruel. It's punishment for the sake of punishment, and suffering for the sake of suffering. But not so in the case of a king who has to appoint someone to mete out punishment to his son. And there are rules to the game, and there are limitations. The compassionate father wants to make sure that this officer will not overstep his bounds, will not pass ki uzeh, even a thread of a thread of more punishment than is deserved. And Hashem warns Mitzrayim that if you overstep your bounds, if within the framework of the exile of Mitzrayim and the punishment to the Jewish people, you will exaggerate that punishment one hair's breadth, then don anochi, you'll be judged for that, as the Ramban explains in his commentary on the Torah. And then, v'achar kach yetzu b'rechush gadol, do you think for one moment that rechush gadol refers to material possessions? Would that be in any way, shape, or form a consolation to Avraham Avinu, who couldn't care less about materialism? And the answer, as the Zohar says, that the rechush gadol is a spiritual baggage, because v'atzipor lo basar, that even when we're subject to those nations of the world, those kingships, the various Golios, and all the persecution against us throughout Jewish history, nevertheless, Atzipor lo basar, they cannot break us. We are still dedicated to the Almighty God, to His Torah, to Netzach Yisrael, the eternity of the Jewish people. Atzipor lo basar. And therefore, somehow, miraculously, supernaturally, in the Golos, we experience some sort of process which is called a Kura Barzel. It's a difficult period of Golos, of exile, over and over again throughout our history, but it purifies us, it uplifts us, like the case of a natural metal that has impurities and has to be put to the furnace, but it comes out pure and whole. That's the purpose of Golos. And finally, Geula, the redemption, bringing back the people to the land of Israel. I'd like to share with you a medrash, which I believe can answer the question, what brought about the Geula from Mitzrayim, and what will eventually, hopefully speedily in our days, bring about the redemption in our time. The Medrash quotes Rabbi Lazar, "Kshed nigalu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim," the redemption from Egypt happened as a result of five different categories. Aleph, mitoch tzara. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayonchu bnei Yisrael, the people of Israel let out a cry. That was the tzara. Number two, mitoch tshuva. Dichsiv vatal shavosam. Number three, mitoch zchus avos. As the pasuk says, Vayizkor al kim es briso. Number four, mitoch rachamim, tichsiv vayar alokim es bnei Yisrael. And finally, mitoch haketz, the end of days, as it says in the pasuk, vayed alokim. Says the Medrash, v'af li osid lovo. And so too, at the end of time, ein nigolim, ela mitoch hamisha dvarim, the pattern of geula mimitzrayim will repeat itself. Mitoch tzara, Tichsiv batzar lecha. Mitoch tshuva tichsiv v'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha. Mitoch rachamim tichsiv kikel racham Hashem Elokecha. Mitoch zchus avos shenemar v'lo yishkach es bris avosecha. Mitoch haketz k'mo shekasuv mitzaucha kol advarim ha'ele v'achris hayom. Five elements will bring about the ultimate redemption, just as these same five elements brought about the Geula, the redemption from Mitzrayim. The first one I find to be the most strange of all of them, because over and over again the Medrash says the word mitoch. Mitoch means a cause, a siba, a gorem. So I can understand that tshuva and rachmei shamayim, zchus avos, and ketz, all these will bring about the geula. But why tzara? And what is the relationship between tzara and geula? I have in front of me a very rare sefer that somehow survived the Holocaust, called the Dvar Avram. Just a word about Rav Avram Kana Shapiro. He was the Rav in Lita of the city of Kovna, perhaps the center of Torah learning before the Holocaust. And he died in the Warsaw Ghetto. And somehow, they were able to salvage some of his manuscripts called the Dvar Avram. And this particular sefer, Dvar Avram, Chelek HaDrush, I inherited from my father. It has a hakdosha at the beginning from the son of the Kovna Rav of the Dvar Avram, and he has a drasha for Shabbat Shuva. It's a very long drasha. I would just like to share with you one point. He says that Shuva and Zchus Avos, Rachamim and Ketz really all merge into one. We paskin, based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that ain't Yisrael nigolim ela b'tshuva. And God in His rachamim, in His compassion, makes it possible, sets up the ambiance, if you will, for us, His people, to do tshuva. That's the rachamim. And why do we deserve the opportunity to do tshuva? Because of zchus avos. And ultimately, that's what the Ketz is all about, when our people will do tshuva. But what is Bitzar Lecha? What is this element of suffering? And why is that something that Hashem noticed amongst His people in Mitzrayim, and that brought about the Geula? And the Dvar Avram shares with us an incredible insight. He quotes a Medrash on these words, Bitzar Lecha. Ma'u Bitzar Lecha? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Tzara Shehi Shel Yachid Tzara, V'chol Tzara She'eina Shel Yachid Eina Tzara. What is this all about? Rabbi Yochanan puts the emphasis on Bitzar Lecha, Lecha in the Lashon Yachid. And what kind of Tzara is Bitzar Lecha that's going to bring about the Geula? It's the Tzara of the Yachid, of the individual. Hence, Bitzar Lecha B'Lashon Yachid. But then, Rabbi Yochanan emphasizes a Tzara She'eina Shel Yachid. So he opens up with a Tzara Shel Yachid, and then he says, Eina Shel Yachid. How do you reconcile that? Says the Dvar Avram, and I feel compelled to read his beautiful poetic Hebrew, because he, more than anyone, saw with his eyes the suffering of the Jewish people, the incredible suffering in the Warsaw Ghetto. And he writes, Ezit Sara Mevili De Geula. How do we know, how do we identify Jewish suffering that will bring about the redemption? What is the nature and the purpose of that suffering? And why will that bring the redemption? Says the Dvar Avram, Kol shi pogas be'uma kibeguf echad sholem uma uchad. He says, yes, we're talking about a tzaras yachid. We're talking about an individual who is suffering. But yet, it's a tzara she'eino shel yachid, because all of Klal Yisrael are interrelated, like guf echad, like one body. Kishem shebeguf, just like in the body. If one aver, one part of the body is nifga, is injured, hare kol aver ve'aver shebegufo margish b'keevo, every part of the body. He has a headache, he feels it in his feet. He has problems in this organ, he feels it elsewhere. That means it's not a tzor of the yachid. Because all of Klal Yisrael are one guf, are like one human body. And if one individual is suffering, tzrichim lahargish kol ever ve'ever shel ha'uma, every single yachid in the uma, kol yachid v'yachid mibnei ha'am, margishim, they feel, they identify with that pain. And therefore, he says, that's the tzara which is shel yachid, but ain't a shel yachid. If it's not a tzara of kol yachid v'yachid, if not everyone dips in and identifies and empathizes with the suffering of the yachid, that's not going to bring about the geula. It's only the bitzar lecha as an individual which reverberates throughout the entire guf of Klal Yisrael. And when Klal Yisrael let out that cry, and sometimes we wonder, is Hashem listening? Does He hear our cry? And the answer is yes. And this all started in Mitzrayim, because the Pasuk tells us, Vayanchu Bnei Yisrael. And that brought about the Geula from Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard the cries of Israel. Every Jew was crying for the next Jew. Chazal speak about the fact that in Mitzrayim, every Jew is concerned about the other Jew and identified with the suffering of that other Jew. That's Ein Yisrael Nig'olim Ela Mitoch Tzara. That's the kind of Tzara that will bring about the Geula. And perhaps we could add one point here. to the Dvar Avram. You know, last Shabbos was Shabbos HaChodesh. And when we go out every month for Kiddush Levana, we say, Yemale Hashem Pgimas HaLevana. That may God restore to the Levana, the moon, to its glory, to its full glory. And I asked my father the following question. There are so many tzaras in Klal Yisrael. So many challenges. The state of Israel, surrounded by so many enemies. The enemies that face us all over the world in Golus, anti-Semitism. We're talking about an intermarriage rate which is beyond comprehension. And the only thing that we could pray for once a month when we go out to be Mekadesh Levana is Shiyamali Hashem Pkimas HaLevana. And my father, may rest in peace, said the following. He said to me, Azaria, do you know what the Levana is all about? Chazal identify Klal Yisrael with the Levana. The moon is totally dependent upon the sun. And we, in the experience of exile, as a Jewish nation, are totally dependent upon the nations of the world. And the nations of the world, like the sun, have an impact on the moon, on Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, we very often pick up some of those kinds of cults and practices and customs from the Goyim. We ask Hashem, Yemale Hashem es pgimas halavana. We want the moon to be as great of a luminary as the sun. Let us be independent. Let us be secure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Guarantee that all of Klal Yisrael can return to the land of Israel at the end of this bitter golos. During these moments in which we face so many challenges and we hear about so many Yidden, so many Jews who are never suffering. There are those who contracted this terrible disease and they are in very critical situations both here in the United States, in England, and elsewhere. We've heard about some of the Nebuch losses that we've suffered. And we're hearing somewhat frightful news about the prognosis to overcome this terrible disease. But the answer, I believe, lies in the Amale Hashem es Pgimas HaLevana. The Geula will come about through Zchus Avos. Hashem will remember Zchus Avos if we follow in the pathways and the example, follow the examples of our forefathers. It will be mitoch rachamim Hashem will have compassion on His people. The golus is not a punishment for the sake of punishment, but as Hashem revealed to Avram Avinu, the punishment of golus is to prepare for the ultimate geula, for the redemption. And we, as the people of Israel, cry out to Hashem. We identify with every tzara of Yachid. We feel the pain of every single Jew. And this made us a great nation. And it all began in Mitzrayim. Because the Pasuk says, Vayehi Sham L'Goy Gadol. We became a great nation. There, Sham, in Mitzrayim, Melamed, Shahayu Mitzuyonim Sham. And what made us a great people? What defines us as a unique great people? The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Vayeschanan, Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elov bechol kareinu elov. God hears our cries. And I ask myself, what can we do in this situation that we face? We're entering into the period of Chag HaGeula. We've already entered into the period with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We have to be besimcha. How can we achieve simcha? A at this period of time, at this crossroads, when so many of our people are suffering, people all over the world are dying, how do you achieve simcha? And of course, as you've heard the call from every corner, every videotape of any Orthodox rabbi, it's always tshuva, and there's no doubt that that's the purpose of everything we're seeing. But the geula comes through tshuva, but also through b'tzar lecha, lecha, the tzaras yachid, asher lo elokim krovim elav, bechol koreinu elav. And I ask you, when you daven and you mention the names of those who you know are suffering, those who are in critical condition, those who may be hovering between life and death, call out to Hashem. Perhaps even yell out the name of the person. Because b'chol kareinu elav. But Sarlach Hashem heard the cries of the Jewish people of Mitzrayim when every Jew identified and commiserated with the suffering of another Jew. If we can do that today, then maybe that's the whole point and the whole purpose. And maybe we are becoming once again that great nation of B'tzar Lecha.